a retail slowdown in China and in the U.S. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. New data out of China today reveals slowing economic activity there. While retail sales rose 7.2%, that was much lower than analysts forecasted. Clothing sales, in particular, fell for the first time since 2009. Retail sales numbers for the U.S. also came out just a while ago, showing an unexpected decline there as well. Overall sales dropped 0.2% in April. For more on this, I'm joined by Susan Schmidt. She's head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Susan, could you unpack the American retail sales numbers that we got out this morning?
Well, they're a little bit of a disappointment, and that's the second disappointment we've had in the last 3 months. So, for the moment, we can just say that things are a little bit lumpier than normal.
Is this a reflection of what's happening in the ongoing trade dispute slash war between the U.S. and China?
To tell, but it does mean that there's another data point out there where both governments should be paying attention to this. It implies that there is some weakness and concern, and trade negotiations are going to impact that. Remember that the next $300 billion of Chinese goods that are subject to tariff are mostly consumer products. The prices that they see on the shelves will be increasing.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
President Trump could be taking the first step towards banning U.S. companies from doing business with Chinese tech firms like Huawei. Reuters is reporting that the president could sign an executive order this week, paving the way for the ban. Federal agencies are already prohibited from using Huawei equipment. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me with more.
President Trump is expected to invoke the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The act gives the president power to regulate commerce in response to a national emergency. The emergency now, according to the Trump administration, Beijing could order companies like Huawei to hack into products they sell in the U.S. to spy or disable communications networks. Huawei sells smartphones, but also technology used by wireless carriers. This emergency powers law was enacted in 1977. It's been used by past presidents for things like economic sanctions. President George H.W. Bush used it to provide humanitarian relief. The act was first used by President Jimmy Carter. He declared a state of emergency in 1979 after the Iran hostage crisis.
Nancy, thanks. And now there are 22. Yesterday, Montana Governor Steve Bullock joined the crowded field of Democrats running for president. With so many candidates, it can be tough to get a sense of where they all stand on the economy. Emily Gooden is a political reporter for thedailymail.com, and she joins us from the campaign trail in New Hampshire. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
So what are the major economic themes you've noticed from the Democratic candidates so far?
They all want to cut the Trump tax cut, the tax cut that the president and Republicans passed a few years ago and was very unpopular around tax return time. I'm following Joe Biden around the campaign trail in New Hampshire, and at his event on Monday night, the biggest applause line he got was when he mentioned cutting that tax.
What other themes have been coming up?
Voters really want something done about health care, and all the candidates are kind of embracing some sort of universal health care or public option. And another issue we're seeing come up repeatedly from voters is the climate.
Who has the most detailed economic plan so far?
We're actually not seeing a lot of details right now, and I'm thinking that's going to change around the end of June when we have the first Democratic primary debate. But Elizabeth Warren is pushing what she calls an ultra-millionaire tax, which is a tax on people that are the top earners in the country. Cory Booker has something called the Rise Credit, and it's his idea to give every child born $1,000 to be put in a savings account that will grow and be given to them when they're 18 so they can either buy a home or pay for college. Andrew Yang, who is a long-shot dark horse candidate, has been getting some attention for his universal basic income principle, which is to give everyone $1,000 a month. And Kamala Harris has what she calls the LIFT Act, where she wants to give a tax cut for those making under $100,000 a year.
A lot of these policies and a lot of the narrative that you're hearing seems to be focused on economic inequality. How is that resounding with the crowds that you're seeing?
Right now, Democrats are really trying to appeal to what we call those blue-collar voters. And the concern among them is that their jobs are disappearing and what's going to happen next. So a lot of candidates are trying to address that issue because these are the voters that put Donald Trump in the White House. Hillary Clinton lost them in 2016.
A lot of these policies you've highlighted relate to individuals. What about their economic plans for businesses, large and small?
A lot of consensus that tech companies need to be regulated more. Elizabeth Warren kind of led the charge on this when she called to break up Amazon. But now candidates are saying Facebook should be regulated, that these big tech companies are becoming public utilities, and there needs to be more government regulation of them.
Emily Gooden is a political reporter for thedailymail.com and joined me from the campaign trail. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
And in Washington, D.C., I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.